All right, let's go to your notes, and you'll get another opportunity here in a minute, okay? In just a few moments, all right? The following is a statement I hear all the time. Matter of fact, if you spend any time around, I hear it a lot. Matter of fact, I just heard it Tuesday. Tuesday afternoon about 3:30, I heard one of these two statements right here, okay? And when I hear one of these two statements, the radars kind of go up on my ears because I get concerned, all right? And here's what I often hear. I hope I go to heaven when I die. And let me tell you what, the hope there is not a hope that Paul spoke about. Let me tell you what they just told me. They don't know for sure. They don't know for sure. If they died, they don't know for sure where they're going. And then the second question that I often hear is, I hope I stay faithful enough until I die and can still go to heaven. And I do hear that. And so, you know, when you hear those type of questions, I immediately go there, all right, and start asking some other questions and to try to find out, you know, what was behind that statement that you just made when we were sitting here chatting. Number two, of all the things that you should be sure of all the things you should be sure of, your eternal destiny should be settled already. You know, people hear me say this all the time. I know that 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 I know. If I died tonight or today, if I dropped dead up here right now, when I close my eyes on this side, I know where I will be. There's no doubt in my mind. But that surety is not based on emotion. It is not based on feeling. It is based upon the promise of God himself in the Word of God. And that's what I stand on, is the promise. And so, and I've had people push back. So then you're hoping that based on that, I said, no. I said, God's never broken his promise. Okay? And so there's no greater promise to stand on. And then on top of that, the reason that I know that I belong to him is because of Romans chapter 8 and verse 13 through verse 16. And his spirit bears witness with my spirit that I know that I belong to him. Okay? There's relationship there. And so that's my concern is that there are many who sit in the pews of our churches Sunday after Sunday who think they're saved. They have this false sense of security. Because I hear more and more and more, well, I hope that I'm to the place, I hope I've done enough, or I hope everything's okay, that when I die, I'll go to heaven. I could not imagine living like that. Okay, just couldn't, not knowing. Especially with the uncertainty of the day we live in. I mean, the world we live in today, you could walk out of your house tomorrow morning and not come home. Okay? It's the world we live in. Bill Fay in his book, I don't know how many of y'all have ever read Bill Fay's book, Share Jesus Without Fear. I don't know how many of you have. If you have never read his book on Share Jesus Without Fear, I would encourage you to do so. Probably one of the best books that have been written to make it just as down to earth and simple. Matter of fact, we're going to share several things that are out of his book tonight with some modifications that I'm going to share with you. Matter of fact, Bill Fay is famous for a principle in evangelism. It's called the principle. Anybody know what is? Okay? Whenever somebody makes a comment to you based on some questions or discussion, the only thing Bill Fay says that he does is he just says, And then he listens some more, and he listens some more, And then what he'll do is he'll ask one of a series of questions to redirect the conversation back to where he wants it to go to see what their response is, okay? And we're gonna look at that as we kind of go through. Because let me tell you where we are. We're real quick, okay, when somebody makes a comment back to us that is not correct, that we pounce on that comment, okay? And we try to argue that comment back to them and try to correct it. Did you know the majority of the time we need to do more listening than we do speaking until it gets to a point that the Holy Spirit of God opens a door of opportunity for us then to walk through and redirect with a series of questions, all right? And we're going to go through, and I give you all of this tonight as we go through and look at this. Number four, it's just what I said. We have to be willing to listen. Now watch this attentively. Now I've been accused of having selective hearing. I listen to what I want to listen to. And if I don't want to listen, boy, I'm seeing husbands and wives, boy, they're back there looking at each other going. Miss Sandy, you're the lone person sitting right here in the middle, okay? Sandy says it's a gender thing. Number four. We have to be willing to listen attentively, okay, as we move from a casual conversation to the questions of eternal destiny. Did you know a lot of times the very eternal destiny of an individual that you're talking to hangs in the balance of your conversation? And your conversation can influence them one way or the other. I think sometimes we lose the seriousness of that moment. Because at that moment in time, we are the witness of God himself to that individual to share with them the gospel. And so as we direct that, now, keep in mind, the Holy Spirit is also necessary. The Word of God is necessary. God himself is necessary. But oftentimes, so often, we are that vessel that is used to carry the good news of Jesus Christ to that individual. Okay? Do you see the seriousness of it? And I think sometimes we kind of lose that. Number five, the reason that we need to listen attentively, okay, we may find that the individual may be dealing with other issues in their lives, such as loneliness, emptiness, pain, loss, traumatic experience. You know, one of the things that worries me more than anything else is somebody makes a decision about Christ through emotion or by emotion without significantly understanding where they are, where they stand before a holy God. And they understand what salvation is about, okay? And about they're standing before a holy God. And you say, well, preacher, what do you mean? They're standing before a holy God to get them to understand and realize that they're a sinner. They're an enemy of God, of a holy God. And we stand there in the filthiness of our own righteousness. And without the blood of Jesus Christ and without repentance, you know, matter of fact, there is a well-known, and I'm not going to mention any names, but there's a well-known, okay, preacher, author, wrote a book. And inside of that book, he says that repentance is not necessary for salvation. I don't know what you do with what Paul said, repent and be ye baptized. I don't know. I guess you just X out what words you don't want to appear in there, okay? But to get them to understand and realize what's necessary for salvation. Number six. There's a series of five questions here. And let me share this with you tonight. This is just an example, okay? We have a survey that we use from the church. And I'm going to make some reference back to the survey that we use in our door-to-door visitation that has a combination of these questions in it already. And so for a person that goes door to door, And through our team reach, we already give you, you got this sheet of paper in your hand that already kind of helps you down through this process. And we do a little bit of redirecting through the survey, okay? And you'll see that in just a moment as we kind of go through these questions. So here's the five questions. Do you have any kind of spiritual belief or beliefs? Who is Jesus Christ? Now, I want you to understand, make sure you pay attention to your notes because "to you" is underlined. It's underlined. I want to know who Jesus Christ is to you. Not what anybody else, to you. Who is he? Okay? Number three, do you think there's a heaven or hell? Oh, that's always a fun one. Boy, I love to ask that question. But I'm going to tell you something. If you ever ask that question, you need to be ready for the answer you get back. Okay? Number four, and this is one. This is a classic. This question is a classic. If you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Okay? I mean, that's a very classic question. And generally, it's asked right behind, okay? It's asked right behind question number three. Okay? Generally, you move from question number three right to question number four. In other words, do you think there's a heaven or hell? I've had people tell me, absolutely not. Turn around and ask them, if you died today, where would you go? And they say, I hope I'd go to heaven. Seriously, honestly, okay, that happens. Okay? Number five, if what you currently believe is not true, wouldn't you want to know? That's a good question. All right? So, number seven, you will find that most people are more than happy to answer a question about spiritual beliefs because most people love to give their opinions. Okay? That's one of the reasons why we use the survey. Okay? We have a survey that we use when our teams go door to door through neighborhoods. Okay? Very first question on here is, and let me show you how easy this is, because one of the things that they will tell you anytime you go through any type of evangelism training, the first thing is to try to ask a question that is that's more natural in nature, more physical in nature than spiritual. Okay? So the very first question that we ask in our survey is, how long have you lived in this community? How long have you been living here? Let me tell you what, that immediately kind of knocks down any walls that may be there. And generally, they're very apt to respond. Number two, then here's where we go. We kind of redirect here just a little bit. According to a recent survey, there's a rise of interest in religion. Would you say you are more interested in spiritual matters today than you were 5 years ago? If you remember the first question, do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? Okay? So number two in our survey is a kind of a rewording of question number one in these five questions. Number three, I always like to do this one because it kind of breaks down the barrier, okay? If you could ask God just one question, now you better get your answer. All right, that one, boy, can generate quite some answers, okay? If you could ask God one question and get a direct answer, what would you ask him? Okay. And then we move on to number four. Are you a member of a church in this community or ever been one? So basically what we do is we ask that question, we come back around again. If you'll notice, this thing keeps redirecting. Okay, and basically what it's doing is kind of breaking down those walls, kind of them opening them up to talk a little bit about spiritual things. Number five, people tend to think that one of the things a church should do is to help people discover eternal life. That is, how to go to heaven. Do you agree? Okay, you notice how we're asking the questions and letting them respond with their opinions. Now, watch number six. And this is where it really gets, by the time you get down to question number six, there's quite a conversation going. Because question number six goes like this. Have you ever thought about your eternal destiny? Have you ever thought about it? And that's all we ask. Have you ever thought about it? Okay? And then number seven, is there a way that we can pray for you? But that one on your spiritual destiny, and what that does is, if they say no, then guess what you can do? Okay? Door of opportunity. Well, can I share some things about your spiritual destiny with you? And oftentimes that opens a door for a further conversation. So you see how these are, okay, they're not hard driving, okay, but it gets the conversation started. Bill Fay will tell you, and share Jesus without fear, the goal is to get the conversation started. It's to get a relational environment taking place, okay? Mm-hmm. That's great. That's right. That's correct. And see, the neat thing about it is, when you go door to door, it's already written down for you, okay? It's a door opener. Now, what I'm giving you tonight is what you could actually take with this, put the two of them together, and effectively share the gospel, all right? Number eight. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you one of the things I hear more than anything else. You want me just to go up to somebody's door and knock on that door and just cold turkey out of the blue start a conversation? Nope. We do it for you. As soon as you share with them, we're here in the neighborhood taking a survey, okay? It immediately kind of knocks down some of that preconceived idea about what you are. Okay? I'm honest. Okay. And let me tell you one of the other things we do. This isn't a trick, okay? We really want to know, because we track all of this. All the answers that are written down on here, we load into a computer. We track this for every single door we knock on. And we go back and I look through it. I look at their responses. Okay? And I look at their answers. Some of them, I get them back and it just says, no, 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 and no. Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's a response for that here shortly. I'll show you, okay? All right. Number eight. So the first question, okay, do you have any kind of spiritual beliefs? Now, that's the first question. Here's what you should attempt to do. You should avoid questions such as, do you believe in God, or do you believe the Bible is true? Let me tell you what those do. When you ask a question like that, it automatically puts them on a defensive right away. Okay? It puts them on a defensive right away. And a lot of times they'll shut you down right there. And sometimes you can get an anger response back. Okay? So try not to go that way. By asking them, do you have any spiritual beliefs, it's, okay, I'm interested in your opinion. And you'll be surprised how much more of an answer you will get with that question, because you'll get a no out of these often, okay? Number nine, most people will be more than happy to answer this question. Matter of fact, the percentage is so high, okay, that it's rare that you will get somebody that will say just absolutely no, okay? Number 10, the second question. Who is Jesus Christ to you? Not to anybody else, to you. Who is he to you? Now, let me tell you why you state it that way. And you can even do it this way. To you, who is Jesus Christ? See, you could take this question, and you can flip it around, and you can leave it like it is. But to put the emphasis on you, you could say to you, who is Jesus Christ? There's a very specific reason why it is done that way, okay? Because here's what happens. This question separates religious people from relational people. You say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, number 11, you're not looking for a theological statement. I don't need somebody to tell me, well, I believe he's the Son of God. He was a great teacher. He went around healing people. I mean, you're not looking for a theological discourse on who Jesus Christ is at that point. What you're looking for is a personal relationship with him for the person to respond, he's my Lord and Savior. That's who Jesus Christ is. Who is he to you? Okay? Do you see the difference there between a religious response and a relational response? Okay? And to see those. Number 12. So the third question. Do you think there's a heaven or a hell? And let me just say this. This question can generate a very emotional response. Very. Okay? Matter of fact, it is often answered with an absolutely not. There is more belief today in the non-existence of any heaven or hell than there's ever been. As a matter of fact, there is a great movement and moving toward an agnostic view of heaven and hell, that when life is over here, we move on to another plane, okay, of life. Or those who hold to a very atheistic perspective, when they die, okay, it's it. It's called annihilation, right? It's just over. There is nothing else after. I don't know about you, but I would hate to think that that there's nothing past here. Because now all of a sudden, here's what you begin to deal with. If there's nothing past here, then what's the purpose for me even being here? What's the purpose of life? I mean, what's the purpose of living? If there's nothing past here, what is the purpose of living? Because let me tell you what you're doing at that point in time. You're no longer living. All you're doing is existing. You're just part of the food chain, okay? Number 13. Fourth question. If you died, where would you go? Listen very closely to the response, especially after their response to the third question. As I shared earlier, I have heard absolutely not on question number 3 and turn right around in question number 4 and say, I hope I go to heaven when I die. Okay? Number 14. So the fifth question. The fifth question is a crucial question. It's probably the critical question. And let me say this. People fear missing opportunities of not having or knowing the correct information. They miss that. Okay? They don't do well when information's missing, or they don't think they have all of what they need, or they don't have the truth. Let me tell you what, that opens a lot of doors when you ask that question. So if what you currently believe in true, wouldn't you want to know it? Let me tell you something. More times than not, of course. Well, would you mind if I take you to the scriptures and show you? And most of the time, the answer is no. Now my curiosity's been piqued. Okay. And by the way, let me say this. There's only two possible answers to that question. And let me tell you what you just did. You've just driven them down to a yes or no. At that moment in time, there's only one answer they can give you. It's either yes or no. Maybe is no. Okay? So if the answer is yes, number 16, if the answer is yes, then you ask if you could share some scripture with them. Let me say this. Here's where we sometimes, and I will just say this, more than not, we kind of miss the boat, okay? Don't say, well, in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, okay, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, okay? Or you just pull some passage of scripture out of the Bible and just use that passage of scripture. What you need to do, is you need to take the scripture and you need to turn to it, and then you need to hand it to him and say, "Would you read this? Would you mind reading this? I want you to read it." Okay? And so, for instance, Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Then what you do is, after they read that, then here's what you do. You turn around and you ask another question. And here's the question: what does it say to you? So what does it say to you? "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Well, there's only one response you can give. We've all sinned. Okay? Yeah, we have. All of us have sinned. And so as a result of that sin, what does it do in our relationship between us and the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, you take them immediately over to chapter 6 and take them to verse 23. And what you do is you ask them to read that scripture again for the wages, and stop there and ask him, says, what is wages? And get them, you engage them in the discussion here, for the wages of sin is death. And then you key on that last phrase, but the gift of God. And you ask him, what's a gift? Let me tell you what that does. It immediately eliminates works out of the picture completely, because now I'm dealing with a gift. I'm not dealing with earning anything. You earn wages of death based on your sin. Life is a gift to you by the grace of God. You can't earn that. Okay? And then you take them to Romans chapter 5, okay? Verse 6 through verse number 8. And basically what you do is you get them to read that as well, okay? "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, in the appointed time, in just the right time, Christ died for who?" He died for the ungodly. He died for the sinner. That's why he died. "For scarcely for a righteous man," okay, "will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die." In other words, in rare cases, you might find that. But you come to verse number 8. "But God proved his love to you. While you were still a sinner, he did what? He died for you." Isn't that amazing? Okay? And then what you ask them, then what you do is you ask them this question: so why did Jesus die? Why did he die? And now all of a sudden, the wheels begin to turn. Well, he died for me. Why did he die for you? Because I was a sinner. Okay? Now you're getting them to the point where now we're going to kind of go down just a little bit further. John chapter 14 in verse number 6, okay? John 14:6 is a very, because let me tell you what you're getting ready to do. You're getting ready now to just drive home. In John chapter 14 in verse number 6, this is after Thomas asked the question to Jesus. "We don't know where you're going and we don't know the way. And I said, now you're wondering what the way is. Well, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ answered that question for us as well. And here's what he said: I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father, no one comes to the Father but by me." That's the only way you're going to get there. All right, well, if that's the case, Okay, if that's the case, and they understand they're a sinner, they understand Jesus Christ died for them, and they understand that he's the only way that I can get to the Father in heaven, then what do I need to do to get there? Well, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Verse 13 of Romans chapter number 10 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. No works. Not anything you can do to earn it. You can't buy it. It's a gift of grace. And then you tie all of that together. And notice the series of questions that you ask all the way down through this. What does this say to you? What does this say to you? Why did Jesus come to die? What does this say to you? What does this say that you must do? But if the answer to the fifth question is no, they say no. You do nothing. Except, can I pray for you? And did you know what? Let me tell you something. 99.9% of the time, even though the individual told me no, they were very open to allow me to pray for them. Isn't that amazing? Okay. It's an amazing thing, right? Real quickly, I have two things for you. I told you I would do this for you. Underneath 22 in your notes, these are two of the apps that are available for free that you can download to your smartphone, okay? This first one is called Share Your Faith. Let me tell you what. This one, Share Your Faith, is the most user-friendly one that's out there, okay? It's the easiest to use. Matter of fact, you can turn on the voice part of it, and it will take the individual completely through it. You don't have to say a word. It'll do it, okay? Or you can do it and let it walk through, and you speak as it walks through the process. And you control how it moves through the process. But that is one of the easiest ones for someone to pick up and use, okay? The one right below that is called Life Conversation Guide. You find it by going to the App Store and put in Life on Mission. If you put that in there, Life on Mission, it will bring up some, but this is it. I took snapshots of these for you. This one's a little bit more difficult because you have to know, you got to be very comfortable with how to swipe, okay? I don't have mine with me, but basically, yes, I'm going to tell you, if you can't get it, go get your 5 or 6 year old grandchild, hand it to them and say, could you show me how to use this? And they'll do it, okay? And they'll show you exactly how to do it, all right? I use both. I have both of them on my phone. I have both of them on there, but I will tell you. Let me tell you what the greatest app that I have found to use, bar none, okay? I've used it in more cases than anything else. Go out and have lunch with them. I take a napkin and a pen. And I use a napkin and a pen to illustrate for them the gospel. So, we have more resources available to us to share the gospel. We share the gospel less today than we ever have. There's no need to be afraid. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to stand here tonight and tell you that if you'll take all of this material that I've given you and go out here, you won't be afraid. Listen, I guarantee you, you will not be afraid of sharing your faith. The fear will be gone. I will tell you, to this day, one of the things that I just do not like doing is going up to a house that I don't know anybody. But as soon as I knock on the first one, from there on the second one just gets easier, and the third one's easier, and before long, you don't even think about it. It's just that first one. And there's always the fear of rejection. That will always be there. Until you understand that what they're rejecting is not you. They're rejecting the truth of the gospel. They're rejecting Jesus Christ himself. Our responsibility, at the end of the day, when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, were we faithful to go? Were we faithful to do? And oh, by the way, the conversation I had on Tuesday, by the time we got finished, okay, with our conversation and prayed, said, so, if you were to die right now, do you know where you would go? Absolutely. I'm going to heaven based on the promise of the Word of God. That's what's key. Don't have to hope so. You know so. And if you know so, then do so.
Kira.
Sure.
Yes.
Amen.
Very open and said she would like to talk more. She didn't have a lot of time, but I told her that we would be waiting.
I would encourage you to do one thing. On the back, in these notes, I gave you it's very direct. Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, John chapter 14, or Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through verse 8, John chapter 14, and then take them to Romans 10, 9, and 10. It's very direct, okay? It's very direct, and it won't take you and get them to read it. Amen? If I can encourage you to do this, share your faith, and don't be afraid of it.